Exodus chapter number 8, and we're going to read the first 15 verses, and then we'll bring a couple of thoughts for you this morning from Exodus chapter number 8. I'm glad to be in church, ain't you?
Amen.
Exodus chapter number 8, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thy house, into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, in thy house, or in the house of thy servants, upon thy people, into thy ovens. Frogs in your ovens? That's where frog legs come from. And into thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. The Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with the rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. In other words, get his attention. Entreat the Lord. Take away the frogs from me and from the people, and I will let the people go, that thou mayest do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. Hallelujah, Pharaoh. You come to your senses. When shall I entreat for thee? When you want to do this? And for thy servants, and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, they may remain in the river only. This is what Pharaoh said. He said, tomorrow. Well, if the frogs was that bad, it seemed like you'd want them gone now. And he says, tells Moses, he said, we're going to do it tomorrow. Tell the Lord we're going to do it tomorrow. He said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, and thou shalt remain in the river only. Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out in the houses and the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hardened not, hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray, Lord, for the next few minutes you'd give us the words that we need to say. Lord, help us not to say something that's going to hurt, but help us to say something that's going to help. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do for us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here is a story. This is the second plague of 10. There were 10 plagues that God brought upon the Egyptian people, where Moses said, Pharaoh, let my people go. The first one was God turned the water into blood. And then the second one was the frogs. And then after that was the lice and the bulls and the darkness. And all of a sudden, and the last one was the death of the firstborn of every household. And so these frogs were everywhere. They were in the bedroom. They were in the kitchen. They were in the parlor. They were in the oven. And God says, if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I'm going to smite all the borders with frogs. And did you know that God keeps his word? This Egyptian woman is opening her oven and frogs are coming. We're talking about frogs, just not just the sight of frogs, but if you've ever been on a pond, there could be 3 frogs and it sounds like 1,000 frogs out there. You imagine the sound of all of these frogs would be deafening. Not only this, the sight of them, not only the ones that had died, and the whole land started to stink. Now, these Egyptians worshiped everything that come out of the Nile River. They worshiped the Nile River. These Egyptians, they worshiped the crocodile that came out of the Nile River. They worship the frog. Matter of fact, one of the Egyptian gods is a person with a woman, a female body, and it has a frog for a head. That's an Egyptian god. They worshiped that. Aren't you glad we ain't worshiping frogs today? But here, there's frogs in the yard, there's frogs in the house, there's dead frogs, there's big frogs, there's little frogs, and there's frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh, he says, I can't take it no more. Get Moses on the phone, get Aaron up here, and we're going to cut a deal. Get rid of these frogs. I'm tired of these frogs. They're everywhere. Please, and I'll let your people go. Y'all can go serve the Lord. Y'all can go to church. Y'all can do anything you want to do. Just get rid of these frogs. Moses like, hallelujah, Pharaoh, I'm glad you're coming to your sin. I'm glad you're going to get right with the Lord. When do you want to do this? Pharaoh said, let's wait until tomorrow. So the title of my sermon is One More Night with the Frogs. One more night with these frogs. Now, you say, preacher, what are frogs? Frogs are a type of uncleanness. Frogs are a type of sin. That comes out of the book of the Revelation. And I saw three unclean frogs coming out of the mouth of the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. These frogs represent uncleanness. These frogs represent sin. These frogs represent lust, bitterness, uncleanness, jealousy, greed, addiction. We'll hit it in a minute. We'll hit yours in a second. Uncleanness, addiction, anger, rebellion. Everybody has frogs in their life. There's big frogs, there's little frogs, and they begin to multiply. Big frogs, little frogs turn into big frogs. Little sins turn into big sins. And then all of a sudden they're contagious. They're everywhere. They carry diseases. They're unclean. And the more frogs there are, the bigger the infestation and all the uncleanness that goes along with it. Frogs. Frogs you can see. Some frogs you cannot see. Some frogs are hidden in the closet where you can't see. Some frogs are out in the open where everybody sees, and that's the frogs that everybody says, oh, look at there. Look at the frogs in their life. But nobody looks in the closet to where the frogs are in your closet that nobody can see. Well, I come to preach to Millsfield today. Frogs. And then in verse 8, he says, entreat the Lord, get his attention, say, get rid of these frogs. Pharaoh, when you want to do it? I'd like to spend one more night with my sin, one more night with my lust, one more night with my uncleanness, one more night. Preacher, I'm going to get right, but I want one more night of freedom, one more night at the one more night at the card table, one more night so I can take one more, just one more night. Preacher, I know it's wrong. I know I need to get right with God, but just give me one more night with my frogs. Well, I'm preaching a whole lot better than what you're giving me credit for. Tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. Hebrews says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Pharaoh said, which is a picture and a type of the devil and the Antichrist, he says tomorrow. The Holy Ghost says today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. Procrastination. We're famous for what we're going to do tomorrow. Ladies, don't elbow your husband right here. I'm going to clean the garage, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm planning on cleaning the cabinets out, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to start living right. I'm going to start doing better. I'm going to turn over the leaf. I'll do it, and I'll do it tomorrow. I remember, what was it, September the 11th, after we had September the 11th, man, every church was full. Every church was full because they thought the Lord was coming. We done been attacked by these Muslims and all of that. We done run. Now we're electing them into Congress and Senate and all of that. And so, you know, now they're running into, now they're not only running into buildings, they're running right up into the White House and the hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I said it. Now internet's on. Yeah, everybody. And then after that all dwindled down, everybody went back to whatever they was doing. And now all of this stuff with Israel's going on, and everybody's like, oh, bro, we might want to come to church. Tomorrow. Give me one more night, one more night of this defeated, wasted Christian life, one more night of just being backslidden on God. Well, preacher, I know I ought to do it. I know I'm fed up with this old wretched life. It's not happiness. I'm defeated all the time. Well, when do you want to get right? I'm going to do it next Sunday. I'm going to do it next Sunday. I'm going to get right. Next Sunday. Am I preaching good? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why not? An unsaved person, why don't you come to Jesus? He'll save you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse your sin or confess your sin. He'll forgive you sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wouldn't you want to come to the Lord? Yes, preacher, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get right before the Lord comes. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, the Lord run up on a couple of fellows and over there in Luke chapter number 9, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever, whatsoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds have nests, that birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus said, hey, you sure you want to follow me? Because I don't even know where I'm going to lay down and sleep tonight. If you're going to follow me, it's going to take sacrifice to follow me. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. Me first. Lord, I want to follow you. This is the only sermon I brought. Y'all sit back, buckle your seatbelts in. It's the only one I brought. Hallelujah. Come back next Sunday, we'll give you a good one. He said, enough, follow me. And he said, suffer me first, Lord. You second, me first. I'll follow you after I go bury my father. The dude's dad wasn't even dead yet. He said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also, he said, Lord, I will follow thee. I will. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. I want to follow you. But I want to go do this, and I want to go do that. I will follow you. And Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Boy, me first, me first, me first. I think the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Sundays ought to be the Lord's day. Sundays ought to be the Lord's day. The day we give him. Preacher, that's the only day I got off work. Me first. Me first. Lord, I want to follow you, but am I all right? Am I at home? I feel like I'm in one of them dead churches I've been preaching revival in. Suffer me first. Lord, I will follow. I will follow, but suffer me first. I need to go do this. I need to go do that. I know I need to sing. Brother Jerry, I know I need to sing. I'll do it sometime. Lord, preacher, I know I need to repent. I need to get right, but I'll do it sometime. I know I need to get saved. I know I need to. I will do it sometime. Me first. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. There's many a sinner that said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I just need one more night with my sin, one more night of fun. I'm not expecting a lot of amens because we're plowing real close to the row right here. And when you got weeds real close to the corn, you get as close to the corn as you can and you get them weeds up and sometimes the corn starts hollering. Lord, I know I just want one more night of darkness, one more night with my friends. Lord, preacher, if I come to the Lord, I'm going to lose all my friends. Good. The reason you're in the mess you're in right now is because of your friends. Y'all got the camera pulled up real close. One more night. Now let me give you something. Number one, the frogs may not leave tomorrow. The frogs may not leave tomorrow. Y'all remember a fellow by the name of Jonah? God said, Jonah, I want you to go preach revival. He said, I need another night on the deep blue sea cruise. I need one more night. Lord, I will go, but I need to go on this cruise. I've already got this cruise booked. I hope nobody's got a cruise booked. Anyway, I got this cruise, and I'm not. If you do, I don't know anything about it, so I'm not talking about you, all right? But I need to get this cruise. Lord, I'm going to follow you, but I want to get this cruise now. I got it booked. I've already paid for it. And Lord says, well, help yourself. Go on, help yourself. He picked up a phone, called that whale, and said, hey, there's a black backslidden preacher that's going the wrong direction. I need you to pick him up. He's going to be at this certain latitude, this certain latitude. I need you to pick him up and hold him till I tell you what to do with him. That whale swallowed Jonah. God picked up the phone, called Jonah in the belly of the whale, and said, hey, what about that revival? Jonah says, whatever you'll have me to do, I'll be able to do. I preached my first sermon. Now the story I'm fixing to tell didn't happen there. I preached my first sermon in Obion County Jail. I forgot how old I was, very young, and I preached at Obion County Jail. I think Brother Charles Callens was there, several other preachers that were there that we went and preached at Obion County. That might have been Thursday night. I can't remember. But it's Thursday night in Obion County Jail, and we started going to jails, this, that, and the other. Well, then I started working in Jackson and all, you know, all that stuff, and then I got real close, and this guy, man, I'm telling you what, I tried to lead him to the Lord. He just wasn't ready. And then his wife started calling him and saying, hey, would you go get him and bring him home? He's such, such. Go get him and bring him home before he gets in trouble. He's going to wind up in jail. I said, all right, I'll go in there and get him. I'll go in there and get him, bring him home. And Brother Jerry, I'm sorry. I said, well, you mean pray for you? He said, yeah. I said, dear Lord, I'll pray for this drunk. He said, don't tell him I'm drunk. I said, he already knows it. Anyways, a bunch of times she called me and said, hey, they going to get it. They going to carry him to jail. Before he carries it, go in there and get him. Bring him home. I said, all right. So one time, it was too late. He done got into a fight. Somebody done stabbed him a few times. Not bad, not life-threatening, but he was just bleeding everywhere. And they got him in the county jail there in Madison County. And, I knew the sheriff. I said, I need to go in there and see him. And I went in there and saw him, and he done, what time is it? 11. Yeah, he done puked all over himself, and just sitting in it. And he's got blood everywhere, just where people done stuck him and everything, and he done sobered up just a little bit. And I said, hey, called his name. I said, hey, are you tired of this? Are you tired of this? He said, I sure am. He said, I'm tired of living like this. He said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of, look where I'm at. I stink. I'm sitting at this place, and these people, look at, tired of it. I called his name. I said, hey, won't you give your life to Christ? He said, Brother Jeremy, I will. I will. I'll do it sometime. I said, I thought you was tired of this now. I thought you was tired of this right now where you're sitting. He said, I will. Brother Jeremy, you tell the truth. You are telling the truth. But I just need to think about it some more. I'm not ready. I've had many people tell me, say, Brother Jeremy, I'm coming to church. I'm going to get right. As soon as I'm going to get straightened out, and I'm going to be there. And when I get straightened out, every time I see him, come on. I want to get right. I'm going to straighten out. I need to get straightened out first. And I'm not saying this to be funny. I'm saying this is serious. And you'd be surprised that the next time I do see them, they are stretched out in a 6-foot box. And they roll them right down to the altar at the church, and they're finally straightened out. And it's too late. You better not wait till you get straightened out to come. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. The frogs may not leave tomorrow. Number two, matter of fact, it's going to get worse than frogs. Did you know after the frogs it was lice, flies, locusts, bulls, darkness, fire, death of the firstborn? It's going to get worse. Let me say this. What will it take for God to get your attention? What's it going to take? If I had another hour, I could tell you some stuff God had to do to get my attention. So I'm not telling you something just, I'm telling you what I've lived and experienced myself. If you're one of his, he gonna get your attention. And something worse will come tomorrow, worse than the frogs. I know this ain't a good shouting sermon, but do you know how many people need to hear this? Number three, tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may never come. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow may never come. Did you know that actually tomorrow will never come? Because when you wake up tomorrow, it's going to be today. And then the next day will be tomorrow. And so when you wake up, then that day, it'll be today, and tomorrow will never come. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash on hand that you got. Spend it wisely. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift from God. That's why they call it the present. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Brother Jeremy, I thought you said the Lord is long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh, yes, I'm telling you that. He is long suffering. But Genesis 6 says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And God's patience wears thin. And Romans 1 takes effect. And Romans 1 says he turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. God's patience wears out. When you don't listen over and over and over and over, he's tried to get your attention. He sent frogs. He sent lice. He sent locusts. He sent bulls. He sent everything. And you still, tomorrow, I'll get right. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast. Ain't that good information? I will in no wise cast out. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Why is the wrath of God abiding on him? It's because he won't believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. God has done his part. The blood's been shed. The price has been paid. The next move is yours. Please do it today. Boast not thyself tomorrow. 2 Corinthians said, but now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. James 4 and verse 13 says, go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow will I go into a certain city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. I'm going to say this. If you're going to serve God, you better do it today. If you're going to get right, do it today. If you're going to live for God, do it today. If you plan on getting saved, do it today. I can't promise tomorrow. I don't know if we'll wake up tomorrow. I don't have any idea. Have y'all been back to see that car wreck scene? That is, those vehicles come from a real live wreck that happened. And those people were driving those vehicles did not realize that their vehicle was going to look like that the next day. This whole judgment house is coming. You say, why are you preaching? Because everything you're going to see is about today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off any longer. Today is the day of salvation. I'll tell you this, Sammy's coming to piano. He's a 15-year-old boy. He ran away from home. He's run away from home. And he's living in a sewer pipe in New York. He'd stole $20 from his dad. He ran away from home because he thought his dad would kill him over $20. He ran away from home. He'd been in that sewer pipe, rats, and in all kind of just filthiness and everything. He's lived in that sewer pipe in New York City for 2 weeks. His mom and dad had called and been missing report and all this kind of stuff, and the police were out looking for him. And they found this boy in the sewer pipe. They said, son, where you live? Are you the, you know, and he said, well, I can't go home. I can't go home. I stole $20 from my daddy. The policeman called the daddy on the phone and said, this boy says he can't come home. That daddy says he's been able to come home all along. He's lived in the sewer pipe because he wanted to. He's been able to come home all alone. $20, I can forgive him for $20. He's welcome in this house. It'll take a whole lot more than $20. And he'd been living for 2 weeks in a place of filthiness when he didn't have to. And there are Christians living in filthiness and they don't have to. They're wanting to spend one more night with their sin. Lord, I'm going to get right, but just give me one more night so I can do this, this, and this. Boy, how about you today? Heavenly Father, God, I pray right now. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the sermon you told me to preach today.